tuned into Quick Charge, the high voltage podcast bringing you the top stories in electric vehicles and sustainable energy daily. And it's all powered by Electrek. Welcome to Quick Charge. It's September 12th, 2024, and I'm your host, Joe Boris. We're going to take a step away from political commentary today and get right back to the EV news, because there's a lot of it, starting with Tesla's full self-driving 12.5 rollout on Hardware 3. Basically, it's failed, and owners want to know what happens next. Tesla CEO Elon Musk assured owners that Hardware 3 would enable full self-driving capabilities, promising retrofits for earlier models that had purchased the FSD package. Following this, Tesla introduced Hardware 4, a more advanced onboard computer system, but did not offer retrofits for older models with Hardware 3, maintaining that Hardware 3 was sufficient for achieving full self-driving through software updates. Initially, Musk claimed that FSD improvements would first be optimized for HW3, suggesting that Hardware 4 might lag behind by at least 6 months. However, Tesla reversed this approach with the release of FSD version 12.5, which was first deployed to Hardware 4 vehicles. Musk explained that optimizing the software for less powerful HW3 would take additional time, hinting at the limitations of Hardware 3 in handling the latest software advancements towards unsupervised self-driving, a capability Tesla promised to Hardware 3 owners since 2016. This rewrite aims to streamline that narrative, focusing on the evolution of Tesla's self-driving hardware and software and the strategic shifts in deployment and optimization of full self-driving capabilities between Hardware 3 and 4. Musk said that it would take 10 days to adapt 12.5 to Hardware 3. That was the original plan, but in late August, 2 weeks after Musk's 10 days had passed, we reported that Tesla started to push 12.5 to Hardware 3 vehicles. Not only was the update late, but Tesla later confirmed that it was running a smaller model than on HW4. On top of that, 3 weeks later, Tesla has yet to push V12.5 to the vast majority of FSD vehicles with Hardware 3. In fact, Tesla appears to only have pushed version 12.5.1.5 to some Tesla Hardware 3 owners, and it's now moving Hardware 4 cars to version 12.5.2. Social media and Tesla forums are all full of HW3 owners asking why they haven't released a new update since 12.3.6 earlier this year, despite Musk's comments. In its AI roadmap released last week, Tesla now claims that Hardware 3 will get the same release as Hardware 4, starting with 12.5.2 this month. What remains to be seen if that actually happens. We do have additional Tesla news, though, and it's about the Cybertruck. Tesla appears to be winding down its Cybertruck wrapping business. Tesla quickly started to offer Cybertruck wraps with two colors as soon as the vehicle started being delivered to customers who realized that stainless steel was really anything but, and decided not to question why other automakers hadn't done stainless steel. The service was only offered at a handful of service centers in California and Texas, and now Tesla has updated its online shop to cut down Cybertruck wrap colors to just three. Interestingly, Tesla is not listing any Texas location for film applications anymore. Now the automaker only mentions the West Covina, Oceanside, Costa Mesa, and Santa Clara, California service centers as being able to apply Cybertruck wraps. The same goes for Model 3 and Model Y wraps, although more colors are still available there. Moving on from Tesla, the largest car company in the world, General Motors, may begin buying Chinese EV batteries, but they will assemble them in the U.S. That's right, a GM electric car with Chinese batteries could soon be a possibility on U.S. roads. GM is in talks to buy batteries from China's cattle to assemble them at a new U.S. facility. The deal would include Japan's TDK licensing the tech from cattle to assemble at a new U.S. plant. TDK would fund and operate the new plant to build lithium iron phosphate cells, the sources told Bloomberg. The factory is expected to be built in the U.S. South and could create over 1,000 new jobs. Talks are still ongoing and plans could change depending on the outcome of the U.S. election in November. One source claims that GM does not plan to take a stake in the operation like Ford and Tesla's arrangements. As it's set up, the arrangement could help GM side-skirt possible retaliation or scrutiny from U.S. lawmakers. If finalized, the deal would encourage other automakers to seek similar collaborations. Automakers are pouring resources into developing and producing next-generation EV batteries to enable more performance at a lower cost. The news comes as Toyota and Mercedes-Benz announced plans to develop and launch solid-state batteries earlier this week. Automakers are looking to secure stable, cost-effective supply chains for future models, so check back soon as more details are likely to surface. And while we're on the topic of GM, it might be a great month to buy a new Chevy EV. Chevy's ramping up its sales efforts with one of the most aggressive pushes yet, according to Cars Direct. The automaker is offering $1,500 in dealer flex cash for every electric car and truck, as detailed in a bulletin sent to dealers. Good through September 30th, Chevy dealers have the chance to score an unadvertised $1,500 incentives on every Equinox, Blazer, and Silverado EV it sells. It's not a typical rebate, so there's no promise those savings will make it to buyers. In more competitive markets, though, some dealers might feel the pressure to lower their EV prices. Last week, Chevy sweetened the deal for buyers by rolling out 0% financing on its Silverado EV. We're going to add that to our list of EVs that you can buy this month at 0% financing and list that in the source notes here. If you're looking for a Blazer EV, select models still qualify for $7,500 in Ultimate Promise bonus cash, or if the version you want is eligible for the federal tax credit, you can snag interest rates as low as 0.9 APR. And if you're switching over from a competitive lease, Blazer EV leases start at just $299 a month. The Equinox EV is stepping up with lower interest rates as well compared to its gas-powered counterpart, and it qualifies for the $7,500 federal tax credit. Chevy Bolt drivers can also cash in on a $1,500 loyalty discount, and if you're coming from a non-GM lease, there's the EV Lease Conquest tier bump, giving you Chevy's best pricing even if your credit isn't spotless. Moving on from GM and their mainstream offerings to a little more upmarket, Porsche Macan EV hits U.S. dealers September 30th with an EPA-certified range of 308 miles, or 288 miles for the turbo version. Porsche tells us that the ships carrying the cars are already en route to North America, and depending on which coast you're on, they should arrive the last week or two of this month. But Porsche and its dealers have been communicating the September 30th date for Macan availability. So if you're looking forward to this car, you've only got a couple of weeks left to get your affairs in order, and you can use our affiliate link to contact local dealers and get in line. I will put that link in the source notes here as well, so go over to electric.co and check that out. Today, we've learned one of the final steps before getting these cars on the road has been submitted, as the Macan EV has been officially rated at 308 miles of EPA range, or 288 for the turbo. These numbers are lower than the European 381-mile WLTP range, but WLTP ranges are significantly higher due to different testing protocols. So we expect a range of around 300 miles for the Macan EV. That's what we got, though Porsche also told us that the range would be 10 to 15% higher in the real world. Those range numbers translate to an MPGE of about 98 or 91 MPGE for the turbo version. Both numbers are higher than any Taycan efficiency, however, which is somewhat incongruous given the Macan is a larger vehicle. I'm just going to stop right there and leave a note here that says the Taycan tends to have a higher frontal area based on the wider tires and more rolling resistance that those imply, the Macan being a little bit more mainstreamy with less of an emphasis on aerodynamic downforce and ultimate grip is going to have narrower tires. It's going to have a slipperier surface in terms of drag, so that's going to help it along. As usual, your mileage may vary, but it looks like the car will have more than enough range for most buyers. It's also capable of charging at 270 kilowatts, which Porsche says will allow it to go from 10 to 80% in just 21 minutes. That's plenty quick enough to fill up at a lunch stop, long bathroom and stretch break, or whatever else you've got going, and get back on the road without a significant delay. In this day and age, quick charging speed is really the most important thing to focus on anyway, and there are big changes on the horizon in that respect, with Porsche committing to the NACS or Tesla connectors in 2025. However, despite the Macan being a 2025 model, it will retain the previous SAE CCS port upon debut and will not use the NACS port for the foreseeable future. So you'll have to stay tuned for more updates in that respect, including the availability of a potential adapter. Good side note here, Porsche is currently not on Tesla's NACS coming soon page, and the NACS rollout has been slowed by supercharging chaos caused by Tesla CEO Elon Musk's impromptu firing of the entire supercharger team. Now, you guys know we love to end these talking about sustainability, talking about recycling, talking about things that generally make the planet a better place to live. Today is no different. Helion, man, I'm saying that wrong, will make solar panels using solar cycles recycled glass, And it is a big deal. Over the next 5 years, SolarCycle is set to deliver at least 4 gigawatts or around 20 million square meters of recycled solar glass to Hillion. To put that into perspective, that is equivalent of covering about 3,700 football fields. This agreement is a win for both companies, aligning with their recent expansion plans fueled by the growth of domestic solar manufacturing industry in the U.S. Hillion continues to build out its manufacturing capacity with operations running at full steam at its Mountain Iron, Minnesota factory. The company is also ramping up module production in the Minneapolis metro area, plus taking strides into cell manufacturing through a joint venture with Premier Energies. SolarCycle has announced a first-of-its-kind factory in Georgia, designed specifically to recycle materials from retired solar panels and create new solar glass. This new facility is expected to produce 5 to 6 gigawatts of solar glass annually, filling a crucial gap in the domestic solar supply chain. By purchasing SolarCycle's American-made ultra-low carbon glass, Hillion is set to help solar developers qualify for Inflation Reduction Act initiatives, stabilize their costs, and ensure a steady domestic inventory. Manufacturing emissions will be reduced by more than 30%, and shipping emissions will be cut in half. That's all we've got for today, September 12th, 2024. If you like what you heard, be sure to like and subscribe to the page, and we will see you again next week.